Good morning. Good morning to those in church, those online, and those who get the service in all kinds of other ways. So it's good to be here in worship this morning. Elaine's going to take us through the intimations, she says, if she remembers how, having just come back from holiday.
Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sing our visitor's book. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church will be open on Thursday afternoons between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. until the end of March. The Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week, and the next two films will be Wonder on the 5th of March and Railway Man on the 12th of March. Films start at 2 p.m. Admission is free and tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. We will celebrate Holy Communion on Sunday the 15th of March. We have invited our link partners in Limekilns Church to join us for a joint service here in Cairn Hill. And this will take place at the earlier time of 10:30 a.m. Conference regarding union. There will be a conference of elders and anyone else interested from the three congregations on Saturday the 7th of March between 10 a.m. and 12 noon at Limekilns Church. The aim of the event is to share information and gather ideas on how various aspects of church life might work once the proposed union of Cairnhill, Cowrie and Torryburn and Limekilns takes place. There will be separate tables covering topics such as mission, worship, pastoral care, finance, buildings and more. Come along if you're interested in helping to shape our future church, and please speak to any elder if you have any questions. The World Day of Prayer. A service will take place on Friday the 6th of March at St. Columba's Church in Robertson Road, Dunfermline at 2 p.m. Written by an ecumenical group of Nigerian women, the themes include the suffering of widows, the burdens of poverty and persecution on religious grounds. There are events at Salon and Dalgety churches as well. These also commence at 2 p.m. There are further intimations on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service.
And maybe one final thing to say before we begin worship, and that's to say that there seems to be a bit of a contagion going round the church, because just a few weeks ago I had to announce a granny, and I'm having to announce another one. So Kath has caught the bug. So just be very careful. And of course, congratulations. And I hope mum and baby are well. Good. Excellent. So let's sing now to God's praise and glory, hymn number 146, From All That Dwells Below the Skies.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer before you. Bless them and use them in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alistair is leading us in our prayers this morning.
And draw near to God in prayer. Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. Father God, may none of your wonderful works keep silent, night or morning. Bright stars, the high mountains, the depths of the seas, sources of rushing rivers, may all these break into song as we sing to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from whom our help comes. May all the angels in heaven reply, Amen, Amen, Amen. Power, praise, honour, eternal glory to you, our God, the only giver of grace. For, O God, our true life is found in you. To serve you is freedom. Our purpose is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. To praise you is the joy and happiness of the soul. We praise you and bless you and adore you. We worship you, we glorify you. Indeed, we give thanks for your great glory. God and Father of all, whom the whole heavens adore, let the whole earth worship you. All kingdoms obey you. All tongues confess and bless you, love you, and serve you in peace. Lord, may you be blessed forever for the great gifts that you have continually heaped upon us. Let all creation stand and sing, fill the earth with songs of worship, tell the wonders of creation's King. Lord our God, we bring you our praise and also our prayers of confession. You know our every weakness, every fault and failing. You know us inside out and better than we know ourselves. We need not hide our wrongdoings, for you know them already. So hear now our personal confessions. Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, please keep watch over our coming and going, both now and forevermore. Please be patient with us. Deliver us from all temptation and all danger, and from the dark powers of this world. With gratitude, we know that through our repentance and belief in Jesus, we receive forgiveness. We shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we become redeemed sinners, sinners saved by grace. Father, as we share in the activity of worship, cleanse our hearts and minds. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and open our lips to show forth your praise. To your most holy name be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And hear us now, Lord, as we join together in saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 551, In Heavenly Love Abiding. have now reached the second Sunday in Lent. This Sunday and through the season of Lent, we're using themes from a study booklet produced by Sanctuary First. It has the title, Come, Follow Me. We recognise this title as Jesus' words. These are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and followers. He said, Come, follow me. Now, this series of services should have begun on the Sunday before Lent. And there, the traditional reading is the story of the Transfiguration, that mountaintop moment where Jesus shares with Peter, James, and John, and they see him in his heavenly glory, standing with Moses and Elijah. The disciples, those three disciples with him, clearly understand that this is Jesus as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Moses for the law, Elijah for the prophets. And Peter wants to preserve the moment. His answer is, let's build three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But that's not where they are to stay. Though we might wonder in the days to come how many times these disciples wanted to return to that moment. The first study was entitled Revelation. Jesus is revealed as much more than even his closest disciples could have known. And of course, Jesus is going to become a saviour beyond any earthly comprehension. The second study has direction as a theme. In a very literal sense, the direction is down the mountain. But that journey ahead goes from the mountain of Transfiguration to a hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha. In the introduction to the study guide, it begins with a question. What is it like to be a Christian when the way forward is unclear, where there are few signs illuminating the way, and the wilderness seems to stretch on and on? What does following Jesus mean when we're daunted, overwhelmed, exhausted, or lost? Jesus descends both physically and spiritually from the mountain grandeur to the valley below, from the heights to the depths. The road down the mountain is leading to the cross. Ahead of Jesus, the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus says, come, follow me. What Jesus does not do for his disciples then or his disciples now is give us a neatly mapped route that takes us from beginning to end so that we know everything that's going to happen and there is no promise of smooth roads and obstacles, or lack of obstacles rather. We will all have experienced times when the road of life has been difficult, when we can barely see the way ahead, and it is no easy task to take that step of faith. We're going to read Psalm 121, sometimes known as the Traveller's Psalm, and then from the New Testament, a very well-known passage from John's Gospel. Nicodemus is seeking the road that leads to the kingdom of God. He thinks he knows how it should go, because Nicodemus is looking for a teacher who will give clear instruction. Do this and you'll be right with God. But Jesus does not answer in the way that Nicodemus expects. So we're going to read now Psalm 121 and from John's Gospel chapter 3. And Elaine is reading for us.
So our first reading comes from Psalm 121, and we read verses 1 to 8. The Lord will watch over you. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our New Testament reading comes from John chapter 3, and we read from verses 1 to 17. For God so loved the world. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Hymn 595, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. If we go back to the study guide and that tricky question for challenging times. What is it like to be a Christian when the way forward seems unclear, where there are few signs illuminating the way and the wilderness seems to stretch on and on? What does following Jesus mean when we are daunted, overwhelmed, exhausted, or lost? If you've been part of a group of folk walking or cycling in a part of the country or the world you don't really know, there is one very specific piece of advice if you find yourself lost. It's to stop and stay where you are. With our dependence on technology, we can regard this as an unlikely occurrence. So it can be even more frightening when we find ourselves lost without a phone signal, or worse still, a dead battery. It does not help if we try to find those who are looking for us. The likelihood is that they will find you where you were rather than where you are. It was one of the rules that Derek and I were given when we were in Turkey 25 or more years ago. And it was certainly given to me when I was part of maybe bigger groups of folk in the Scottish mountains. If you're lost, don't go wandering. But there is another kind of lost, and I am assured that it is particularly a male trait. And that is where you know the destination, but you've kind of lost your way, and there are people to ask for help, but there are certain men, particularly, who will under no circumstances stop and ask somebody for directions. And maybe this is the point where I have to make a little confession. I will not stop the car and ask for directions. Worse still, I will not stop and ask when Karen has clearly suggested that we stop and find the way. Because I know fine well that eventually I'll find my way. I don't need that help. Or so I think. The subject for this third chapter in the study booklet is discernment. It's not always easy to discern where we are and where we're meant to be going. Life is a journey that we don't have a clear road map for. In Psalm 121, we have the assurance that God is with us as we travel through life. The psalmist purposely asks the wrong question to get to the right answer. In the ancient world, high places, the mountaintops, were regarded as holy places. That's where you went to find God, or the gods, depending on what you believed. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And immediately the psalmist gives the answer, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that psalm goes on to describe God as ever-present everywhere. Now, if you go to the book of Psalms, we find plenty of places where the writers of the Psalms are at a complete loss in life. They express abandonment and the struggle to see God or good in life. But even in those psalms of lament and will you always abandon us, Lord, there is a certainty that God is there. They're crying out to God, not because God is not there, but because they know that God is there. There is that constant idea through the psalms that God really is present. Even in moments when the psalmist cannot discern God, God is there. I suppose we could describe this as faith being more than certainty, and certainly stronger than uncertainty. When we turn to our New Testament reading, that story about Nicodemus seeking out Jesus at night. We must be careful as we read a passage like that, remembering, yes, that Jesus had many arguments with the Pharisees, but we must not caricature the Pharisees as some kind of pantomime body. We know that Nicodemus went in the dark to find Jesus, maybe not very obviously. We don't know if he was sent, because he does say, "We have seen what you're doing, and we think this must be of God." But maybe he went as a member of the ruling council for himself. Maybe it was his question, or maybe it was the ruling council. We don't know, but there was something there. Now, were Jesus to have replied along the lines of, "Here is a new way to interpret God's law," Nicodemus would have returned to the ruling council with something positive to say, because that is how the Pharisees and teachers of the law determined what was right under God. They did it then, and within Judaism, it is the same. Those who know the law, the rabbis, will argue the point until they come to a new understanding of God. Jesus' answer is far more difficult. This is the answer about being born again, or as Jesus goes on to say, to be born of the Spirit. Jesus' answer could be described as taking away the certainty that clearly defined laws and rules give. Lots of people want to know, how do you do this? Obey these rules and you're right with God. Disobey these laws and you're condemned by God. All nice and clear and easy. Of course, life is not like that. Life does not fit the kind of boxes where you can put a tick. God isn't running a heavenly call centre with angels ticking off boxes that determine our righteousness or our unrighteousness. God does not set up a commission to ascertain whether we have kept to the Christian code of conduct. The salvation that Jesus brings is personal. Through Jesus, we are reborn. We are not bound by rules, but by love. It is through relationship with God in Christ and through the Spirit working within us that we become the people of God. Rules and regulations are absolutely key to religion. Religion is, in essence, a philosophy of life and a pattern for living. Here is the route to earning your place in God's kingdom. It's back to rules and regulations. Yes, we might need help. We might need the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, those who are experts, to say, this is how you obey that law, this is how you do this, so that it's all neatly tied down. And we get to that place where we are expected to earn our own salvation. And it is a temptation within us. It's what I've sometimes described as the difference between childlike and childish. The childish bit, the bit that won't ask for advice when I'm lost. The bit where I say, I'm going to do it by myself. And, you know, I can do this, when clearly I can't. Jesus tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Jesus tells us that God did not send him to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And of course, there is always the temptation for us to believe that we can earn our salvation. Or maybe the other side of that, the great fear that we will never be good enough for God. And maybe especially when life seems daunting, overwhelming, exhausting, and we struggle to find direction. The third reading that was set for this study is that passage that is so often used in funeral services, where Jesus is talking about the certainty that he offers, that there is a place for all of us. In my Father's house are many rooms. And he says, you know the way, you know the way. And Thomas, who we often describe as being very much a modern day man, says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Thomas cannot understand when Jesus tries to reassure his disciples that what they need is to trust in God and trust in him. Thomas thinks that Jesus is saying, well, you know the way, so make your own way. Do this in your own strength. Well, that is never Jesus' way. Jesus says, come, follow me. So how do we know? And Jesus says, well, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. His answer is, no one comes to the Father except through me. When we step out in the road of life, wherever that path is taking us, it is Jesus we look to. It is Jesus we depend upon. Yes, we've got to put some effort in. But he is there. He has promised that he will always be with us, even to the end of the age. So when life is in that very difficult place and the way is not clear, and we're tempted to rush off in our own direction, the answer from Jesus is, come, follow me, because he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I've chosen a hymn from Mission Praise. As I was writing the final, or my kind of getting my final thoughts together and looking at this service, I thought, you know what? I want to walk with Jesus Christ. Mission Praise 302.
Yeah.
now to our prayers for other people. Alistair again is leading us in prayer.
Let us pray. Honour and praise be to you, O Lord our God, for all your tender mercies again poured out upon us throughout another week. Continual thanks be to you for creating us in your own likeness, for redeeming us by the precious blood of your dear Son when we were lost, and for sanctifying us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we bring you our prayers for the world, confessing that we sometimes do not know where to start. It is now 4 years since Russia invaded Ukraine, causing great devastation to Ukraine and its people. Yet Russians too are counting the loss of many of its soldiers sent to serve President Putin's aggression and lust for power. We pray for peace. We see another country, Mexico, in the grip of drug barons and their lust for money. Murdered, mutilated bodies dumped in streets. The police and army seemingly overwhelmed. We pray for peace. Yet save us from being smug, for Scotland is not immune to violence, including a 77-year-old man found guilty for the shotgun killing of a man in quiet Aberfeldy. We pray for peace. And now we have the attack by Israel and United States of America on Iran, leading to more death and destruction. And retaliation by Iran on some of its neighbours. We pray against this becoming even more widespread in the Middle East. We pray for peace. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we pray too for our brothers and sisters in such places as the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, and Nigeria, who are suffering persistent, violent persecution for their faith. Please be with the injured, displaced, traumatized, and bereaved, comforting them with a peace that can be found only in Christ. Please also meet their urgent needs of food, water, shelter, and medical care, for you have promised to provide for your people. Father, thinking of our own country, we pray for our MPs and MSPs when times of trouble come, especially when they are unfairly criticised, defamed, and attacked, such as through social media messages that can be threatening and hateful. Please provide people who will stand up for them and reassure and defend them and their families from such opposition. We pray about the gambling industry in our country. For some people, gambling may be harmless fun, but addiction to it causes desperate situations. God, we pray for a compulsory levy on this industry to support people affected by gambling harms, as well as improved staff training and ethical policies. We ask for tighter controls on advertising in the media and at the many events that gambling companies sponsor, at venues and on players' kit. God of all grace, call to the nations of the earth to cease from strife, that all may join to fight, not one another, but their common foes of want and ignorance, disease and sin. Lead mankind back out of the way of death into the way of life, and from destruction to the building up of a new world of righteousness and peace, of liberty and joy. End the dark night of lies and cruelty. Bring in the dawn of mercy and truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the abundant and everlasting life you have given to everyone who trusts in you. Our names are engraved in the palms of your hands, and because of the cross, no power can ever snatch us away from the Father's love. May many look to you for this salvation, for in you alone we find our safety and security. And now in the silence of this moment, we bring to your own personal prayers for those whom we know and love. So please hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
Hymn number 167. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with all whom you love, now and forever.